spend another opportunity studying God's Word, worshiping God together, and I hope that these moments encourage us and build us up to face the week ahead, and to, as we study this morning, to encourage us to think like a Christian. I'm glad that you're here. We have visiting with us this evening the Morrises, Mark and Ruth Morris. Mark preaches for the Fair Dealing congregation up near Benton, Kentucky, and I was with them in a meeting the week before last. It's good for them to be able to come and visit us. Ruth's father, John Humphreys, I've known for many years, faithful gospel preacher, and he's also in that area. And Lord willing, he'll be here one Sunday in July when I'm out of town, and he'll be filling in, and you'll get some good preaching for a change. He's a great fella and really knows the Word of God, and we appreciate the Humphreys. This past May 31st, we celebrated Memorial Day, and a few weeks before Memorial Day and a few weeks after Memorial Day, I attended funerals of veterans who were members of the church. And you may know these individuals. We're having Kevin Maxey for a gospel meeting in the, I was going to say the fall, I guess the winter, December. And his father, Kevin Maxey's father, passed away, and he was in the Marines. And that was a couple of weeks before Memorial Day. And then a couple of weeks after Memorial Day, some of you know Mike Richardson. His father passed away over in Dixon, and I attended that funeral. And he was in the Navy. And of course, they play taps. There is the folding of the flag, and there's other things involving the military service. And since I was attending those funerals and not officiating, I was there as an attendee. It gave me more of an opportunity to listen and focus on what was said, and also at the graveside to look around at the grave markers and notice some of the statements that were said on those markers. Of course, Memorial Day is, in the word memorial, of course, is the word memory. And it's a day in which we are to remember the passing of our veterans. And because of those situations that have been in my life recently, I got to thinking about the question that I want us to consider this evening. And that is, how will you be remembered? How will I be remembered? When I attended those funerals, there was much that was said with regard to memories, and that is common. And the scripture that we had this evening in Proverbs chapter 6, the memory of the righteous is blessed. How will you and I be remembered? What are the defining moments in our lives that will stand out? This past Thursday, Seth wanted me to come out to the base. They were having this parade and review where the general passes by all of the troops there. It's quite impressive. And I was sitting in the bleachers with mostly older folks from the Vietnam era. Or age. And I was just listening, and they were talking about their military comrades, and they would mention a name, and then they would say something that that person was known for. Or, do you remember Frank? He was the one that did such and such. Do you remember Joe? He was the one that did such and such. And John, and so forth. And they were remembering the actions of individuals. When Sherry and I were up at the gospel meeting there at Fair Dealing, that's one congregation you can go to where you'll be treated nicely, the Fair Dealing Church of Christ. They will treat you fair there. Wide spot in the road outside of Benton, Kentucky. They have a member there who was in Korea. And when he got out of the military, he joined the police force, and he ended up in Memphis on the police force. And he was telling, and primarily sharing, and then I heard about it later, the story about how that he was one of the police officers that showed up on the hotel balcony when Martin Luther King was shot. He was one of the police officers on duty that day that showed up and was over the body of Martin Luther King and watching that and protecting that until other things took place. And he's in Life magazine. They have the picture of that, and you can see him there in Life magazine. That's a defining moment in his life. That's something that he talks about. That's something that is a memory and that people know about. So this evening, I want us to consider this idea of what will you be remembered for? What will I be? How will you be remembered? You know, a lot of times, somebody was talking the other day about Kobe Bryant and his passing away with his daughter in that helicopter accident, and they were talking about Kobe Bryant's well-known basketball career with the Lakers. There are individuals that are known for certain kinds of things, and they're remembered for that, and sometimes it's fame and fortune, sometimes it's money, sometimes it's somebody's a billionaire, or they've built this industry, or they had this much money, sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's educational accomplishments, or what someone has accomplished in that area and then went on to work in this area and build this industry. There are names that could be mentioned that are associated with education and certain accomplishments in this country. Of course, like with the case of Kobe Bryant, there are sports individuals and people in the music industry and people in the movie industry that are known for those areas of their life. That's what they're remembered for. Of course, there are politicians and those in public service. And my point is that we have an opportunity in life to make a legacy. We have an opportunity in life to live in a way that is going to be remembered for good and in the service of God. And I want us to consider this evening how it is that you and I will be remembered. When I was standing in those grave sites, the first one back in the spring in Columbia and then over in Dixon, and I'm walking through those cemeteries, I'm seeing some statements that are made on some of those tombstones that short statements to define that person's life. Here lies so-and-so, and then there'd be a statement. What will your stone say? What will mine say? This evening, I want us to consider from God's Word some individuals, both in the Old and New Testament, who passed from this life, and the text tells us what they were remembered for. And in a positive way, I want us to consider this evening that we need to have these same things in our life. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 5. Let's begin this evening in the Old Testament with Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 5. When Moses passed from this life, he was not allowed to go into the land of Canaan. He was able to see it from afar, and then he was buried outside of the land of Canaan. And the text says in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 5, so Moses, the servant of Jehovah, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of Jehovah. It's just a short statement, but it's packed full of meaning. That here's a man who dies, and he is described in Scripture later, he's remembered later as the one who was a servant of the Lord. Will you be remembered? Will I be remembered for our loyal service to God? You think about that. I would love to have that on my stone. Just simply, the servant of the Lord. That's packed full of a lot of meaning. And think about that with regard to Moses. Think about what he went through. What does it mean to be the servant of the Lord? Just a few words there, but a very important statement. You think about all that he went through to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and through that wandering wilderness. A life of service. The ill treatment that he went through, that people didn't like him in many ways. The pulling of a group sometimes that wanted to be going back to Egypt and he's trying to get them out. And the dry and dirty and dusty desert to take people through service. Will you be remembered for service? We spoke this morning about our culture of selfishness where it's all about ourselves. But will we be known for serving the Lord? And Lord, what would you have me to do? What are the things today that I need to be doing in your service? It's going to be hard, but I'll do it. It's going to be challenging, but I'll do it. It's going to be arduous, but I will do it. Moses, the servant of the Lord. He died, and he's remembered as the Lord's servant. What a great thing. Think about all that he went through to get people out of bondage, to bring them into a promise that God had made to Abraham of a land flowing with milk and honey. There was a servant involved in that. And there's service today. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. When Moses passed the reins to Joshua and Moses brought the people of Israel out of Egypt and turned them over to Joshua, he brought them into the land. Moses got them out of Egypt and Joshua brought them into Canaan. And the text says in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 29, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Jehovah, died, being 110 years old. Like Moses, he is remembered as being the servant of the Lord. And think about that. That's a closing statement in a book that has a man bringing Israel across the Jordan River, and he comes into the land, and then there's the conquest, and there's a number of battles that have to be made in the service of the Lord. Taking Jericho is no small thing, and fighting various kings and various battles is no small thing. To get the people settled in the land, it took the service of Joshua. There would be times where it may appear that they were up against insurmountable odds. There would be times when military, as some of our soldiers know, is a very difficult kind of thing. The logistics that are involved and the planning and the work. Why? To serve the Lord. And so today, the Apostle Paul says that we are servants of Christ. Let us be known, brethren, for our service. Let us be remembered for our service in the local congregation, in our families, and with our fellow brethren, taking time to serve others. And Paul uses words in the New Testament that involve hard service, the bond servant. And on one occasion, he uses a word to describe someone who's sitting down in the galley of the boat, down low, rowing underneath. It's hard, sweaty work. And he says it's a servant of Christ. Can we be remembered for our service? Let it be said of us that he or she was the servant of the Lord. I can't think of a greater epitaph than that. It begins by becoming a Christian. It begins by obeying the gospel and living a life of what would you have me to do? I'm here to serve, not to be served.
And what a great thing.
There'll be hard work along the way, like there was for Moses and Joshua. But I can't think of any better remembrance. Turn with me to Job chapter 42 and verse 17. Just saying the name of Job and understanding what we're talking about, and you know where I'm headed in this lesson, you already know what the point is. He is so well known for this point that you already know what the point is, and that's the point. What is Job remembered for? Everybody knows that. That's something that we learn from our youth, that Job is about what? Well, chapter 42, the very last verse. So Job died being old and full of days. But when people talk about him later, what is he known for? Everybody knows. He's mentioned in Ezekiel along with Noah and Daniel as being a righteous individual. But in particular, how does he show his righteousness? Well, turn with me to James chapter 5 and verse 11. When, in the New Testament, when Job is remembered, what is he remembered for? James says in chapter 5 and verse 11, "Behold, we call them blessed that endured. Yea, you have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, how that the Lord is full of pity and merciful." Will you and I be remembered for patient endurance? When there's difficult times, we don't quit. When there's difficult times, we don't do like what Job's wife suggested in Job chapter 2, curse the Lord and die. Just get it over with. Just quit. Take the easy route. Or will you and I be known like Job was for his patient endurance? Everybody knows what Job is known for. They know that he is an individual who stuck with that trouble and trial that he had to go through. Today it's about quitting. Today it's about giving up. Today it's about, if it gets a little hard, I quit. That's what it's about today, but don't be like that. And when individuals do that at school and at work and other places, then it bleeds over into our service to God and we just quit Christ because it got a little hard. I want our young people to hear this evening that life is going to be hard. Life is going to have some difficulties. Don't quit. The reward, you have seen the end of the Lord. We have to make it to the end. Will you and I be remembered for our patient, steadfast endurance? What a noble thing to be remembered for. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. When we go down through Scripture, we find individuals who pass from this life, and like the proverb says, the memory of the righteous is blessed. We find these individuals who are remembered for things that we want to be remembered for today. There's nothing wrong with having some things of this life and being known for some things of this life, but ultimately we want to be known for our right relationship with God and our service to Him, spiritual things. Look at Proverbs. It says, the memory of the righteous. We want to be right with God. When we come to Acts chapter 8, of course, we have just read about the stoning of Stephen. And Saul of Tarsus is there, who becomes the Apostle Paul. Saul was consenting unto his death. Notice, by the way, that you don't actually have to engage in something to be wrong. You can just simply be standing by, consenting to it. And you're wrong as well. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. So Stephen has just died. Turn with me to Acts chapter 22 when Paul is looking back on this occasion. How does he describe this man, Stephen, who died at his feet? How does he remember him? How does he look back and describe him? In Acts chapter 22, when Paul is recounting these things, what does he say about it? Come on down to verse 19, Acts 22:19. I said, Lord, they themselves know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of Stephen, what does he say? Thy witness, in the Greek, martyr, was shed, I also was standing by and consenting and keeping the garments of them that slew him. How did Paul remember Stephen? As a willing sufferer, someone who willingly put his life on the line to serve the Lord, willing to die. What a great thing to be remembered for. Let's serve the Lord in such a way that we would be willing to even die for the Lord. We'll talk about this some more at the end of the lesson, but turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Stephen was not the only one. James, of course, is beheaded in Acts chapter 15, but there were others who put the Lord first. It wasn't about themselves. It was about serving the Lord. And even if it meant being hurt in some way or being set back in some way or being put at the door of death, look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 29. Speaking of Epaphroditus, receive him therefore in the Lord with all joy and hold such an honor because for the work of Christ he came near unto death, hazarding his life to supply that which was lacking in your service toward me. This is just simply someone who is helping Paul. He may be bringing some monetary support to Paul, and he's hazarding his life unto death to be a servant. And that's what he's remembered for. And Stephen is remembered for being a martyr, a witness. Let's be known for that. And if in the days ahead, even in our own nation, that maybe we have taken for granted the freedoms and things that we have had in the past, and if those things are taken away in the future with regard to our service to Christ, and it becomes more difficult and more challenging, we need to be willing to hazard our life for the service of Christ. We need to prepare in case that day comes. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Let's learn about a woman who was a member of the church and passed from this life. What is she remembered for? In Acts chapter 9, you may remember Tabitha or Dorcas. And Peter is preaching in this area, and we find in Acts chapter 9 and verse 36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper chamber. And as Lydda was near unto Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men unto him, entreating him, delay not to come unto us. And Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed and turned to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up, and calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. What is she known for? She's known for her good works and her alms deeds, that is, doing good for others. And when Peter shows up, they show the garments and the coats which she made while she was with them. This woman was known for her good deeds, making things for people. I remember growing up when I was young in the church, you would hear about brethren making things for other people. Can we get back to that maybe? Can we get back to making things for people? Every once in a while, and I know she doesn't want me to call her out, but I'm going to do it anyway. Linda Hensley makes me a pie. And she'll bring me a pie. I want to be known. I believe you want to be known. Let us be known. Let us be remembered for our good works. Some of my fondest memories in the church are being in someone else's home and they're being hospitable. Your children need those memories. Can we open up our home? Can we make something for somebody? Can we take something to somebody? And I realize that we're in the 21st century, maybe when we don't sow as much. I get that. But we can still do 21st century things to do good works for people. Let's be remembered for that. And in verse 39, there's the physical evidence. Peter, look at these coats and garments which this woman made. She was charitable. She was giving. And I want our young Christians to grow up and be like that. I want our young Christians to grow up and be hospitable, play in that. Be hospitable, be giving, make something, do something, buy something for somebody. Be remembered for good works. We're to be zealous of good works, Titus 2:14. It's one of the best things to be remembered for. Turn with you to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, and let's talk about Jesus a little bit. Of all the deaths in Scripture, I would say the most important is that of the death of Christ on the cross, and we remember Him every Lord's Day in the Lord's Supper. What about the death of Christ? What is Jesus remembered for? Everybody knows what Jesus is remembered for. When you speak of the death of Jesus, everybody knows what that was for. It was a death on the cross for our sins. God commendeth His own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Corinthians 15, the first few verses, Christ died for our sins. He's known and remembered down through time, and we memorialize Him every Lord's Day in the Lord's Supper for His personal sacrifice. He gave Himself for us. Now turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. We might be thinking, well, wait a minute. How in the world can I even be remembered like that? Well, let's look at 1 John 3. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby know we love, because he laid down his life for us. That's what he's remembered for. And there are many, many passages in the New Testament that talk about how that he laid down his life for us. But John goes on to say, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That puts me in the same situation as Jesus. I'm not dying for the sins of the world, but I need to be willing to give myself for others if that time and place were to happen. Would you give your life for me? Would I give my life for you? Is there any hesitation there? Let us be known if the time came that we would be willing to engage in personal sacrifice for someone else. What a great thing to be remembered for. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. What would it be good to be remembered for? When we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, in fact, Hebrews chapter 11 is so well known to us in the church that just saying Hebrews chapter 11, many know what this chapter is all about, right? It's about all of those men and women of faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, there's a great statement that is made here. These all died, and then what are they remembered for? These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These all died in faith. Literally, it is died according to faith. They died according to the life of faith that is pleasing to God. What is that? That is faithful obedience. And we all know that Hebrews chapter 11, this great chapter on faith, is faith that obeys. With each of these examples of faith, starting with Abel in verse 4 and working down through the chapter, each example has a verb associated with, by faith, and then there's some verb, showing that faith is obedient and it's active. And the text says that they died in faith. That's what they're known for. What a great thing to be remembered for. That I was obedient to God's word when He told me to do what I was supposed to do. And again, like we said before with regard to Moses, some of these things are extremely challenging. It's no small thing to build an ark. And it's no small thing, verse 8, to leave your country and your homeland like Abraham did, or to offer up your son later in the chapter like he did with Isaac. And young people, verse 23, with regard to Moses, it's no small thing to make the right choices when you're surrounded by sin. By faith, he made the right choice to be with the people of God rather than to share in the ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And you've got to do that today in the world that you live in. They died in faith. According to faith. They died as obedient, faithful individuals. That's what they're remembered. That's what I want us to be remembered for. And then last of all, turn with me to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. In the New Testament time, Christianity was greatly persecuted. Under Nero, and then even more so probably under Domitian, it was very difficult in the first century to live as a Christian. And Revelation gives us some glimpses into the personal lives of individuals and what they would have had to gone through to go to work and school and be in the neighborhood, that Christians were singled out because they would not bow to the Emperor Caesar, and many of them had to not only be persecuted but to die for their faith. And that's what they're remembered for. John writes, "Fear not the things that are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, and he is behind not only the mistreatment of Christians then, but even today. The devil is behind it, that you may be tried or tested, and you shall have tribulation 10 days, but be faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." This is faithful to the point of dying. Not faithful just all throughout your life and then you get old and die. It's faithful unto. Faithful leading to death, if so be. Look at chapter 12 and verse 11. Let us be remembered for steadfast commitment. speaking of those who died in the Lord and they overcame Him, these faithful Christians, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. Now look at what they're remembered for. And they loved not their life even unto death. Picture in your mind these New Testament Christians, and we can and should be just like them, just ordinary men and women like you and I this evening. They said, I don't love my life. I love my Lord more than my own life. And if it means dying for Him, I'm going to do that. What commitment that has so been lost in the world today. But we can have it. Look at chapter 14 and verse 3. Chapter 14, verse 13. Verse 13. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow with them. That statement there in verse 13 is what tonight's lesson is all about. Their works follow with them. People remember what they were all about. And they were faithful and they died in the Lord. Brethren, this evening, and we've been reminded even recently with the passing of family members, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die and then comes the judgment. It's a part of life. It's around us everywhere. We all face it. Some of us have faced it already with our own parents. If you have not, then maybe one day down the road you will face it. It's just a part of life. And I was looking back over my notes with regard to this subject and preparing this lesson, and I noticed that a number of sermons that I've preached in the past deal with this side of death. Preparing for it, getting ready for it, making sure that we're in a right relationship with God. But tonight's lesson is about the other side of death. How will we be remembered on that other side? Let us be remembered for our service. And if we need to be more active, and if we need to say to ourselves, I can be more active, let's do that. Now's the time to do it, especially our young people. You're developing your habits now, the things that you will do or not do later in life, you're developing that right now. Develop a servant attitude. We sing about that in our songs, Make Me a Servant. Don't we sing that song? Now's the time to start doing that. Our patient endurance through difficult times. And I'm encouraged by my brethren here this evening that have endured over this past year. I've heard some unfortunate situations that have happened over the last year, but you've not done that. You've endured. You're still here. That's a great thing. That's no small thing. To willingly suffer, to make things for people. Good works. Personal sacrifice. Faithful obedience. Whatever God says to do, I'm going to obey that. And steadfast commitment, even if it means losing my life for Christ. Let's be remembered for these things. What a great catalog of individuals in the Word of God, from Moses to the New Testament Christians. These accounts that are given to us that let us know how we need to live today. There may be someone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel. The opportunity is for you to come to the Lord. We can assist you in that, baptizing you into Christ. If a child of God needs to come back in some way, we can help you with that. But when that time comes for us, provided Jesus does not come first, when that time comes for us, let's be remembered for these great things that are mentioned in Scripture. If we can help you in some way, why would you come as we stand and sing?